Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Monday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to SJS Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have you with us on this Monday. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. We'll have Captain Bitter along in a few moments with the weekly Kevin Herr rant, this time on the Super Bowl. The reason that he's upset about the Super Bowl is that the Steelers aren't in it. Odd thing is, you can't make the Super Bowl unless you're actually in the playoffs. Something I learned a long time ago. We'll talk to Kevin, but we'll keep with the Kevin Herr theme because Tony DeFazio, the Pittsburgh Sports Reporter, will be on today, and we have a lot to talk about with Tony when it comes to the Steelers and also about the Super Bowl. So we'll talk all about that and a little bit more on that coming up later in the show. Later in the week, we are going to have on the show Greg Cosell from NFL Network, NFL Films. The time in the last 3 weeks we've had him on, I think we found him to be, let's face it, once we're done with Greg's film breakdown of the Ravens and the 49ers, I think you will be all set for yonder big game. So we're looking forward to that and getting him on the show to talk about that. So that's part of what we're doing to get you ready for the Super Bowl. That's coming up later in the week. But today, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Also for Kevin, we will talk about the bittersweet moment known as no Steeler football this year. It's been a bittersweet time. His guy, Mike Wallace, who he campaigned for all summer, he's going to be gone. Tony will talk about that and more once we get to the bottom of the hour. Now you're saying, am I torturing Kevin with this? Yes, but that is all part of the master plan. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, safely ensconced away from what now is probably a very angry Kevin Herr. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Hilscher's General Store powers our hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to hilscher'sgeneralstore.com. We will come back with more, including Above the Noise with Dan Patrick here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr in the Sunbury Motors Studio East. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio West here again in just a few moments. A lot to talk about this week with the Super Bowl and golf finishing up from the Farmers Insurance Open. And through nine, Tiger 3-under and 17-under for the tournament. Watney's about the only one that can catch him. He's about 12-under right now. Actually, he's not about. He is 12-under through nine as well. Everybody else, I mean, Snedeker's probably close at 10-under. Snedeker's probably about the only other one in double, you know, the only one that has a legitimate shot, but he's on 17 right now. So that's kind of done deal there. So it's basically a two-man race here in the final round that was suspended earlier in the day yesterday. Thought this was an interesting poll that we'd bring up today and get your thoughts on it. The 61% number is being thrown out. 61% of players disapprove of Roger Goodell in the media poll. I thought that was very, very interesting. You know, with all the Yeah, the NFL had always had some really, really good guys running it. When you look opposed to the NBA, there's always question there about the front office of the NBA for years. But I'm wondering, is that because Roger Goodell's not doing a good job, or is that because he's fining more players the reason that 61% of the players really disapprove of what he's doing? Because it seems to me there's been quite a few more fines over the last several years than there had been in the past. Well, that's something we could talk about here today on the Hilshire's General Store Hotline, toll-free at 800-795-9565. That number again, 800-795-9565. Tony DeFazio coming up, talking a little bit of Steeler football and what's going to be happening in the offseason. And as Steve alluded to, Mike Wallace could be out of a Steeler uniform. We saw late in the season, the Steelers picked up Plaxico Burress. Didn't really use him that much in the offense until very, very late. But Steeler fans going through a little bit of a withdrawal of not being in the playoffs.
I figured that you would be all over the TMZ, Frank Pollard, or Bernard Pollard, the game won't exist in 30 years.
I just don't believe. Well, not the way we see it today. Whether it,
oh, for goodness sake,
not
Kevin.
Existing at all. No, I disagree with that.
Kevin, 91 years ago today, the Decatur Staleys moved to Chicago and became the Bears. 91 years. Okay, league's been in existence 93.
But look at how much has changed in that time. I'm saying things will change. I don't think we're going to have robots playing football.
Well, let's bring in somebody that makes sense.
That's cold.
Dave Paulson joins us. Dave, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, by the way, 61% of my players don't always approve of me either. So, I think we're in good company. A few of them I would have given a concussion to if I could have Wednesday night, but no.
Isn't that an interesting stat? 61% of players disapprove Roger Goodell.
Yeah, there's a lot more fines being levied and a lot of changes he's trying to make and. I don't know if they're good or bad, but at least they know he's having an impact.
Yes, he is. He's definitely having an impact. I actually think he has the best interest of the game at heart because I think he's a football fan. Now, how he goes about it, we'll have to see.
Right.
Let's talk about your basketball team at this stage. All right, so in your week-by-week update with us, how do you feel on this particular Monday?
I feel a little bit better on this particular Monday than if I had called in on Thursday.
Exactly.
That's for sure. You know, real tough loss to Lehigh on Wednesday night. I wasn't pleased with our guys' defensive focus out of the gate. They're the number one three-point shooting team in the country, and we let them knock down 10 threes, and that's not a good recipe for success. I think we talk with our guys afterwards. We talk before, but also afterwards, about playing with expectations. And I think it was something that hurt us when we played at Penn State early in the year, almost like we were expected to win at a Big Ten place. And, you know, what's this all about? And the same when C.J. McCollum went out, you know, almost, hey, we're supposed to win this game. And if you play with a weight of expectations, the weight on your shoulder, you don't attack offensively. And I thought we kind of played tentatively against Lehigh. They certainly played well, but we missed some open shots. We're 2-for-14 from three. We didn't play with the swagger that you would like a team that thinks it's a championship team to play with. To our guys, incredible credit. We really bounced back with a really great defensive effort at Holy Cross. A gutty win at a tough place to play, took their best shot. So, and then, you know, you don't wish ill on anyone, but we were certainly happy to see Lafayette beat Lehigh yesterday. So, as we told our guys at the beginning of the year, you know, nobody was going to go undefeated in the league play. It's just, I think that You know, Bucknell was the last team to do it in 2006, and I don't know if that'll ever be seen again. There's just so much parity in college basketball with a three-point shot. You know, you weren't going to do that. So, you know, we control our destiny, and we just have to continue to get better.
Talk about your defense and how strong that was in the victory over Holy Cross, but you also had four players in double figures. Give the fans an idea of the importance of the balance that you have within your offense and what that can mean to your flow.
Yeah, we did. We had good balance, and Cameron Ayers and Bryson Johnson were phenomenal, and they were also, more importantly, they're phenomenal defensively, because Holy Cross is a big kid named Dzinski who had 27 points and really got off to a good start, and those guys really helped keep the ball out of the post. But if we've got Bryson Johnson and Cameron Ayers really being aggressive on the wing, along with Mike and Joe Willman, you know, then we have a better flow. And we've been talking about this throughout the year. There's a real fine line between playing through Mike Muscala. You know, he's our all everything. We have to play through him, but we can't become so robotic in playing through Mike that Bryson and Cameron, most specifically, become spectators. And that's something that we're, you know, it's a work in progress. We've focused so much energy on the defensive end of the floor. You know, I thought we made some good strides in execution and playing with the flow Saturday at Holy Cross.
Yeah, 34% from the field for Holy Cross in that game. But also, when I look at your offense, Dave, I see 13 assists on 20 baskets, and I see a 2-1 assist to turnover with 13 assists and 7 turnovers. How do you feel about that kind of basketball at this stage of the season when you see stuff like that?
Well, that's really, really good. And again, I think we're now up to second in the country in fewest turnovers committed per game. And we also did a good job of getting on the getting to the foul line against Holy Cross. And sometimes games in late January, February, conference games on the road, they more resemble sumo wrestling matches than a ballet exhibit. And so the tougher team wins those games and get to the foul line and don't turn the ball over, you're going to have a chance, especially if you've got good players and you're defending. The next area for us to get better, we have to rebound better on the offensive glass.
Right.
So we
started
going ahead. Yeah, we only had 5, and Mike played. He had 11 defensive rebounds, but no offensive rebounds. So those are the things that give you extra possessions, and that's going to be a big point of emphasis for us in practice here in a little bit.
For you, I want to get a feel for you on how well Ryan Hill's playing, Steve Casper, Brian Fitzpatrick, Ryan Frazier, Dom Hoffman. How are they playing for you? Because everyone knows what the, quote, big four can do, but you can't win unless the other five give you something. Are they giving you what you need?
Well, I think in some, yes, they have. And, you know, but they're not. And, again, they've played less minutes, you know, and they know that they're kind of the fifth option usually when they're in there. And that's the hard thing. If you know you can shoot the ball whenever you want to shoot it, you can kind of play free and easy. So that's a challenging role to be in. I thought they all played very, very well against Holy Cross. I didn't think that you know, we got the type of point guard play we needed against Lehigh, and that's really, you know, the point. And the big thing was we did a great job defensively on Holy Cross's point guard, and Lehigh's got a terrific point guard, Mackie McKnight. You know, those guys have to start, especially our point guards, at the point of attack of playing great on-ball defense and then, you know, intelligent offense. And they're continuing to emerge and evolve. I thought Dom Hoffman gave us a great effort off the bench against Lehigh at 10 points and kept us in the game, and it sparked us when Mike Muscala went out with some cramping. Brian Fitzpatrick has struggled a little bit offensively, to be quite honest with you, but what he's done is he's defended and he's rebounded at a high level. So we just, you know, it's funny, we were meeting as a staff and just talking about finding ways with those guys that you identified of just getting a 5% improvement between now and the end of the season. You know, they don't have to make unbelievable gains. But if we just get a little bit more consistency and productivity across the board there, then I think we'll have a chance to become a very good team.
Dave, thank you so much for the time. I know you have practice coming up. We wish you nothing but the best.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Dave Paulson with us. News is next on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio and the Hilschers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report coming up. And then Kevin gets to talk about no NFL in 30 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy family has been with us since day one of this show. To say that they are valued is something I can't put into words. And we have great sponsors across the board. People that, one of the more important things about the sponsors on this show are people that we believe in deeply. Right? I'll go to Hilscher's General Store anytime. I'll go to Sunbury Motors anytime. I'll go and talk to the Purdy's anytime. Rick Weibel, of course, Brewer's Outlet. I mean, great, great sponsors. And today it's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywoods 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. You can go to www.hilscherstore.com, and you can find out all the great things that they're doing. Kevin, of course, wants to talk about the end of the NFL in 2043.
Is that the year? Is that what the Mayans said?
No, it's what Bernard Pollard said. He said 30 years. I can add 30 to 13.
I just wondered if that was according to the Mayan calendar or not.
Now, the Mayan calendar came and went, which was a major disappointment to some people because, I mean, I opened up the basketball game that weekend. I said, the Mayans were wrong. We play on. All right. So, well, you're ready for your rant, I can tell.
No. I just you brought up the topic of Bernard Pollard saying that the NFL would not be here in 30 years. I don't think the NFL will be the same in 30 years.
Oh, we'll find out later what you mean by that. But now let's bring in the voice of reason. We bring in the voice of reason, Tony DeFazio and the Pittsburgh Sports Report. Antoine, welcome.
I got some bad news for you. If you're, I'm not sure you should be leaning on me for the voice of sanity, but hey, to each his own, I guess.
Tony, look what I'm dealing with here.
Okay. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
I guess everything's relative, right?
In my world right now, you are my Gibraltar.
I'll go with it.
Ken, how tough is it for Pittsburgh fans to watch the Ravens play in the Super Bowl?
It's tough. It's very tough, especially given the fact that their opponent, if the Ravens go down, then the 49ers will have tied the Steelers with 6 Super Bowl victories. So that's definitely kind of, picking your poison here, I think. But I also think it's safe to say that there are not too many Steeler fans who are following the, hey, root for your AFC North brethren doctorate. I think they are all okay with being tied by the San Francisco 49ers, because watching the Ravens is one thing, watching Ray Lewis is another. Not a lot of John Harbaugh fans in Pittsburgh, so you could really go down the list and just rattle off reasons that Steeler fans are not happy with this Super Bowl. But very, very high at the top is certainly the Baltimore Ravens' presence in it.
Joe Flacco, though, has thrown for 853 yards, 8 touchdowns, and no interceptions. He wanted to tell us at the beginning of the year he was an elite quarterback. Oddly enough, a year ago, Eli Manning made the same proclamation, and Eli Manning followed through with his second Super Bowl MVP award. When you have watched Joe Flacco play, Tony, what has he done to allow people to consider him as an elite quarterback, and what hasn't he done that's prevented him from getting that designation from certain people?
You know, I think it's a great question, but, you know, what he's done to deserve those kind of accolades, frankly, I think all you have to do is look at the past two playoffs. You know, the guy has been great the past two playoff seasons, and I don't think that's an overstatement. I mean, he, you know, just take a look at last year in the AFC Championship game, he outplayed Tom Brady. And again, this is Tom Brady on a high level. We're not talking about Tom Brady, you know, an injured Tom Brady or Tom Brady, you know, falling off, you know, his pedestal. Flacco outplayed him last year. A drop, what would have been a touchdown pass, was dropped in the end zone late in that game, and then a missed field goal, and he was watching the Super Bowl from home. But he outplayed Brady last year. He did the same thing this year. And the game before that, he outplayed Peyton Manning. The guy wins an awful lot. He's in the playoffs every single year, and he wins a lot of playoff games, Steve, and he does it on the road. Nobody wins as much as this guy does in the postseason on the road. Those are all things that make you elite. Obviously, the one big thing you need to do to get that kind of recognition is win the Super Bowl. Well, he's here now, so he certainly has the chance to do that. As far as what makes him, you know, why some people paint him with that other brush, I think part of it is because he hasn't, you know, won a Super Bowl yet. And the other thing is when Flacco's bad, he's bad. I mean, he has had some games where he's just been absolutely awful, just can't seem to complete a pass, can't seem to throw a ball straight. And that's not too often, obviously, because, again, the guy wins at a very, very high level. But he has had those very negative performances a couple of times a season. I guess you combine that with the fact that maybe he talks a little bit too much, you know, but again, Steeler fans have a quarterback that they root for who talks quite a bit as well, says some things that maybe that he shouldn't say. I think they say different things. Roethlisberger is usually a little more humble when he talks about his accolades, but then again, Ben certainly says some questionable things as well. So, again, I think it all comes down to the fact that he doesn't have a Super Bowl. If he gets himself a Super Bowl, I don't know how you can say he doesn't deserve to be mentioned among those other guys.
Let's get to the Steelers for a moment. The draft can't come soon enough. Draft is only 3 months away. So have you started to get a feel from the Steelers, Tony, as to the directions they would like to go to with the 7 rounds they have?
You know, yes and no. I think a lot of that has to work itself out with what they decide to do under the salary cap and what direction they decide to go with certain veterans. You know, it looks as though they're probably going to let Mike Wallace walk. If Mike Wallace walks, they're not going to have a whole lot of depth at receiver. So receiver would seem to be a position they're going to have to concentrate on in the first couple of rounds. They've got a lot of free agents at linebacker, or a lot of potential guys they're going to be parting ways with at linebacker. Larry Foote's a free agent. James Harrison is under contract, but it is a very, very cap-unfriendly number. And if Harrison's going to be back, it's going to have to be restructured mightily. So I don't know if they're going to be able to come to an agreement with James Harrison on a new contract. If those two guys are let go, and if they let Harrison and Foote walk, well, that's half their starting linebacking core. So they're going to have to draft a linebacker relatively high as well. They won't go offensive line. It certainly doesn't look that way. They've got some youth and some depth along the offensive line. They probably won't go defensive line, even though that could well be an area of need, because their younger defensive linemen haven't panned out the way they want them to, and Cameron Hayward and Ziggy Hood. But I think linebacker and receiver and probably safety are positions that they have to address. So I think it's a safe bet that those three positions will be addressed early. I think it just depends. You know, the order of those positions may depend on what they do with some of the veterans that I just mentioned.
Tony, how do they feel about running back?
That's a great question. I don't even know if they have an answer for that. Certainly as we watched the season finish up this past year, Steve, I don't think they had an answer for how they felt about their running backs. It was really almost random as far as who got the handoffs. I mean, it really wasn't a running back by committee as much as it was like a running back by dartboard. You know, we saw Rashard Mendenhall fall out of favor, get suspended for a game, yet we saw him come back over the last 2 weeks and get a handful of carries. Jonathan Dwyer looks as though he's a capable backup running back. Looks as though Isaac Redman's a serviceable backup running back. Chris Rainey's no longer with the team because of decisions he made off the field. And, you know, I think that's really a, frankly, it's a train wreck, to be honest with you. I think they've got a couple of nice backups, but they don't have a starter. And nothing that happened over this past 16-game season made any leeway toward finding a starting running back. So that's got to be addressed at some point as well, whether it's free agency or whether they shrug their shoulders and say, hey, Jonathan Dwyer's the guy. They wouldn't be shrugging their shoulders at that decision. I guess that would be a more confident decision that they would make. And I suppose it's possible. But to me, Steve, when you have a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger in his prime, you only have a short window now to get wins out of that. And I think you have to, you know, put some weapons behind him. And it looks as though they're going to let Mendenhall walk and Wallace walk, legitimately so in a lot of cases. But those positions would need to be addressed, it would seem.
The Penguins opened up with a pair of wins on the road, then lost to Toronto in the home opener. What do you like about the club? What don't you like about them?
Well, I think there's a lot to like. You know, the talent level is certainly very, very high. And we saw that, you know, pretty early. They can skate. There's definitely a lot to like as far as the talent level. It might be a little bit unbalanced, a lot at the top and not a lot of depth behind it. I think we still have to figure that out. What's not to like? Well, you know, last year I think their big issue was playing defense in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, and I don't know that they've solved that issue. That was an issue last year. It still seems to be an issue. It's mainly that same defensive core. Haven't made a lot of changes there. Some veterans who were sort of long in the tooth last year, like Paul Martin, are back, and they're hoping he has a bounce-back season. You know, three games in, it's a little bit early to tell. What they did to fortify their defense, frankly, was just add another goaltender to try to take some pressure off of Marc-Andre Fleury. So, I think that's going to be an issue going forward. But one thing the Penguins do have is a lot of prospects on the blue line, a lot of defensive prospects. Some of those guys could be moved later in the season to try to acquire either a scoring winger or perhaps a veteran defenseman who may cost them a couple of bucks, but maybe sort of a rent-a-player for the stretch run.
On a team that has a Crosby and a Malkin, give me a value of a James Neal.
Oh, he is huge. I mean, he's been a huge addition. He's the guy that they couldn't find for so long. For a short period of time, the Penguins had a scoring winger in Marian Hossa. And that won their first Stanley Cup run. That was the only guy that played next to Sidney Crosby who could just pump the puck into the net. And they finally found a guy in James Neal. Now, it's ironic that he's not playing with Sidney Crosby. He's playing on the second line with Evgeny Malkin. But he gives Malkin that guy he can depend on, the guy who's big and physical and strong and can hang out in front of the net. And he really is a true goal scorer. He's just the kind of guy that can rip it and find the back of the net. Works so well with Evgeny Malkin. So, I think he's a huge value. And obviously the Penguins committed long-term to him for some big money. They believe in him as well. He's about Sidney Crosby's age, which is the other thing. And these guys are all still in their mid-20s. That's the scary thing. And Neal fits right in there with Crosby and Malkin, no question.
45 games to go. I mean, with the short schedule, you talked about getting another goaltender. The importance of that, because the schedule is going to be compressed, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, 48 games, so you look at maybe the number of games that Thomas Vokoun would start might be smaller than a full season, but I think the percentage is going to be greater. Dan Bylsma actually talked about that. I mean, you're probably not going to see Marc-Andre Fleury play a whole lot of back-to-back games, three or four games a week, the rest of the way, and then you hit the playoff run, which is every other night. So, yeah, I think that Thomas Vokoun is going to be very, very important, a guy that, frankly, isn't necessarily going to challenge Marc-Andre Fleury, but he can push him if Fleury does slump a little bit. And even more than that, it gives the Penguins an option. Last year in the playoffs, they just didn't feel like they had any other option but to leave Fleury in, even when he wasn't playing well. And that's a lot of pressure for a goaltender, really any goaltender. And Marc-Andre Fleury didn't respond well to that. So now I think Fleury probably knows that he's not the only answer in that. Vokoun is used to this. He's a veteran. He's a guy who's been an excellent, not backup, but an excellent second option in net. And I think at least the Penguins certainly believe that he's going to be a key if they're going to make a deep playoff run.
Tony, thank you for stabilizing the on-air Titanic.
I'm not usually accused of that, but I'll take it when I can get it. Thanks, Steve.
Tony, it's a resume builder.
Perfect.
Coming from you. I might leave it off.
Tony, we have an opening for a producer. If you. As a Steeler fan, can you root for the Ravens?
No, absolutely not. He is 130% correct. There is no possible way I could root for the Ravens. I would rather see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl than the Ravens. I would rather see anyone win the Super Bowl other than the Ravens.
When we come back, we will find out how one gets to 130% as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their January new Ford truck sale. Choose from over 100 new 2013 F-150s starting as low as $21,454 and new 2013 F-150 4x4 Super Cabs from just $28,389. The totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escape gets up to 33 miles per gallon. And SMC has 63 available starting at $19,975. The top-selling 2013 Ford Explorer offers seating for seven and goes great in the snow. Sunbury Motors has over 20 to pick from, as low as $29,335. Stop into Sunbury Motors and see why they've been the top-selling F-150 dealer in the entire Philadelphia region for three consecutive years. SMC is loaded with inventory, and the prices are slashed to historic lows during their January new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, serving Central PA for almost a century.
Here we go. Cheer to Steelers, black and gold. Here we go. It's town of Pittsburgh.
You know what? This just, no, I can't even play the rest of it. It just hurts too much.
Hurts too much.
Yeah, well, I know how the chorus
the
goes.
Baltimore Ravens are going to the Super
See, that's,
Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the chorus that hurts too much.
Oh, boy. You know, the thing, I think both the Ravens fans are pretty happy.
Who cares? But he's right. It's hard to be a Steeler fan and root for this Super Bowl, because if the 49ers win, then they match the Steelers for wins. And if the Ravens win, well, let's just face it, the Ravens win. And that just is, I think it's the lesser of the two evils. It's almost like an election anymore. I'm not quite sure who to vote for.
Yeah, sure.
But I think I have to root for the 49ers simply because, well, it's anybody, that, you know, it's like, who are you a fan of? I'm a fan of the Steelers and anybody that beats the Ravens.
Let me see. I'm just going to go with the team I think is going to win the game, and then we'll go with them.
I don't care who's going to win, as long as it's not the Ravens. It could be anybody other than the Ravens.
So what you'll be into will be like the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
How long the national anthem is.
Actually, who wins the coin toss? And actually, whether it's heads or tails? There's some pizza like riding on that.
I mean, I would think that Alicia Keys should be able to make a lot of money on the national anthem thing.
You know, I would like to see the... I'm going to look on some of the Vegas lines. There actually is, or was, last year, a Vegas line on how long... There was an over-under on how long the national anthem was.
She should be able to put money down and win. She knows.
Yeah, but I think that goes into the fix type of thing, though. I'm not sure if that would work.
Doesn't matter. So many places to bet on her name. She can do it. She knows.
Well, unless she's doing it live, then she wouldn't know.
You rehearse it, don't you?
I don't know. Let's ask Beyonce.
Well, Beyonce, well, she was able to lip sync it.
Or so we said, so we think, anyway.
Well, that was her voice.
It was. It was definitely
at
her
voice. At the inauguration, she lip synced it, which she already admitted she did. Yeah, she already admitted she did.
Let's see. I'm trying to find out the over-under on that.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, you know there is one. You know there is.
I know them. Oh, I know there is. They bet on everything.
What do they call them? Prop bets? Is that what they're called?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I never placed one in my life. I never have.
Oh, here it is. Right, last year's over-under was 2 minutes 15 seconds.
Right. Now, of course, she could get out there, sing it, and flub it.
Yeah, well, that, I don't know if there's a bet on that, but the line is 2 minutes and 15 seconds, which is 41 seconds longer than last year's over-under.
The national anthem, man. It's an indoor stadium. You wouldn't be able to see the flyover.
That's true. I never even thought about that. There's going to be no flyover.
Yes, there'll be a flyover. They'll do a flyover. The fans of the stadium won't be able to see it, but they'll do one. I mean, there's also a blimp, you know, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are great shots of just the closed dome.
Mm-hmm. Well, New Orleans is a... Now, next year, it'll be wide open. Next year, it will be...
Isn't that New York?
At MetLife Stadium. I hope it snows.
That would be the best. That would be the best. That's but you so know what? Weird. I don't have a problem with it being in the north. I don't. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is football.
How do you build a $1.6 billion stadium and not have it with a retractable roof?
But it's football.
How do you build a $1.6 billion stadium and not have a retractable roof?
Well, maybe that's one of the things that'll change in 30 years. But right now, football is played in the elements. That was what it was meant to be played. That's why they don't postpone games.
How do you build a $1.6 billion stadium and not have a retractable roof?
You spend money on the concession stands.
I mean, the number is astronomical. Okay? 12 years ago, Bob McNair built Reliant Stadium. Okay? Retractable roof, $700 million. How do you today build a $1.6 billion stadium and not have a retractable roof?
I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm fine the fact it doesn't have a roof. You know, not necessarily the dollar figure, but I'm fine that it doesn't have a roof.
Yeah, but you lose out on opportunities. Okay, I mean, let's bottom base this for you. All right, you lose on being in the rotation for the Super Bowl. This will be the one shot they get. They're not going back there for a while.
And I think that's wrong.
Okay, but hold on, I'm not done yet. Okay, I'm talking from a business point of view here. You lose out on the Final Four and the NCAA regionals. Can't play it there. I mean, the Final Four in New York?
Basketball outdoors. That would be entertaining. I'd watch that, even if it were the NBA.
Well, they did it this year down in Charleston. They had to postpone both games because the floor became slick for condensation.